In Genesis chapter number 14, we see here a battle that takes place, and we're going to look at some things tonight. But I want to, if I could, paint a picture around this thought tonight, if I could, the battle plan. The battle plan. I have figured out in the short time that I've been a Christian that if you're going to be a good Christian, you're going to have a good battle plan walking through the Christian life. If you're going to have a good marriage, you're going to have a good battle plan to make that marriage last over the years. Anything that you do in your life is going to have a good battle plan. And as I see I want to think of that thought, if I could, tonight from the aspect of the church. And as Christians, and you and I in our walk with God, we need a battle plan because we have an adversary, the Bible tells us. And so if we have an adversary and the Bible says that we're in a war, then you and I, we need a good battle plan. And this evening, if you're a Christian, then you're enlisted in the Lord's army. If you're not a Christian, you need to get saved tonight. But there's much about war that I do not know. But the one thing that I do know about war is that you had better have a good battle plan. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3 through 4, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." If you and I are going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we had better have a good plan to make sure that we don't get entangled into the affairs of life that 2 Timothy talks about. And that's what I want to discuss, if I could, for just a few short minutes tonight. I would like to ask you to take just a moment and look around. Do you see any empty seats? The empty seats that fill our sanctuary are representative of lost people that need to be saved and added to the church. The empty seats that are around us tonight are also representative of Christians who are no longer on the battlefield. There are many reasons that Christians are no longer on the battlefield. If you're familiar with military terms, you'll understand this, but some have gone AWOL. They're absent without leave. AWOL simply means not being where you are supposed to be at the time that you're supposed to be there. And when this happens, we let down our fellow Christian comrades. Some are deserters. Unfortunately, there are some who began to walk with the Lord. But something along the way enticed them to leave the battlefield, and they put down their arms and they walked away from the fight. There are some that are MIA, missing in action. There are some who really have gone, and we don't really know what happened to them, but we know they're no longer here. There's some that are wounded. There are some that have been in the battle and were wounded and are no longer serving, no longer maybe even attending church, and they've not been able to get over what happened, and they've let bitterness destroy them. But I'd like to bring your thoughts this evening around some key thoughts or keys to a successful battle plan, and I hope that you'll analyze your heart, as I've analyzed mine even before standing up here tonight, and that we would analyze our lives and that we could accomplish all that God would have us to accomplish. You know, that's the only thing that really matters, is being able to stand before Jesus Christ and hearing the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's what my heart's desire for you is, and that's what my heart's desire for myself is tonight, that you and I would be faithful. And I know that being faithful is not easy. I know I'm talking to the cream of the crop tonight. It's not easy to be back on Sunday night. It's not easy to be back on Wednesday night. It's not easy to serve in a ministry in the church. It's not easy to be active and involved. And it's a labor of love, a labor of time, and a labor of energy, a labor of resource, a labor of money. But there's nothing better than to be able to accomplish all that God has for you to accomplish in your life. So I want to look at Genesis chapter number 14 here. And we read those verses 13 through 16. I want to summarize, if I could, for you, and we'll say a prayer, and then we'll get into the meat of our message tonight. Sometime after Lot had moved his family, his servants, and his livestock to the region of Sodom and Gomorrah, war broke out, and several different kings joined together and fought against the other kings in the region. And if you were to go read Genesis chapter 14 and verses 1 through 9, you would see what all took place there. And as a result of this battle, those who were victorious plundered Sodom and Gomorrah. And when they journeyed back to their homeland, they took the spoils of war. And in verse 12, we find that they took Lot Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and they departed. And when Abram heard what happened, he began to put together a battle plan. And there's some things tonight that Abram did that I think you and I as believers ought to be conscious of in our own hearts and our own lives. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this thought, the battle plan of the Christian life. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for what it means to me. And Lord, I thank you for this church and what it means to this community and what it means to the world and the missionaries, Lord, that they support that are, I'm sure, all over the world. Lord, what it means to lost people. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would look at our lives and, Lord, that we would analyze our hearts. And Lord, that we would compare our hearts to the Scripture and see, Lord, if there's anything that's keeping us from being more active in the battle. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. We'll praise you for it. And we ask all this in your wonderful name. Amen. The first thing that I'd like to draw your attention to in our passage here this evening in Genesis chapter number 14 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. He armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan." The first thing that I want you to know about a battle plan is the time for action is now. The time for action is now. The Bible says, "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants." The time for action is now. Abram didn't wait until a good time. He didn't delay. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't say, "Well, let's stop and let's think through this a little bit. Let's take our time. We don't want to be hasty." He said, "Now is the time for action." He was ready. He had armed, he had trained soldiers that he armed because they were ready for battle. He didn't hesitate. He acted immediately. He gathered his men and he sought to rescue Lot. You know, many of us here have family. We have friends that are on their way to hell. Or we know someone who's backslidden and maybe they're away from God, but there are people that maybe even used to go to church. Now we no longer see them or whatever the case may be, but we know the urgency. And when we look around and we see the war that's going on around us, we must respond now. We must act now. Why? Because Satan is devouring this generation. You don't believe me? Look at our universities. You don't believe me? Look at what's going on in our country. You don't believe me? All you have to do is turn on the news and you understand that our country is going down the wrong slope quick. And we have a generation, we have a young generation coming up behind us that doesn't even know Jesus Christ. We have our country that used to be everybody knew who Jesus was. Everybody had a Bible. And we now live in a country where the majority of unchurched people don't even know who Jesus is. There's people in our own country who don't even have a copy of God's Word. And it was a blessing to see the man here this morning from the Gideons. And just a few months back, or maybe it's been almost a year ago now, in our own community there, we participated in a back-to-school event. And in the back-to-school event, we passed out Bibles to every kid in the community that didn't have a Bible. And it amazed me. Child after child after child that walked up and I said, "Do you have a Bible?" And they said, "No." Can I tell you, we cannot wait. You cannot say, "Well, there's going to be a better time in my life to serve God." Now is the time. God gave us a task over 2,000 years ago, and it's time to finish His work. But the first thing I see is the time for action is now. The second thing I see in here is that as soldiers, we must be prepared. As soldiers, we must be prepared. He says there in verse 14 that he armed his trained servants, 318 of them. Abram gathered a group of men together. There were 318 of them, and there's something special about these men that Abram had. They were trained and ready to go. He armed his trained servants. Can I ask you a question this evening? If someone came to you and said, "Hey, could you explain to me how I could get to heaven? Are you ready? Are you able to go? Are you able to participate in this war, in this battle that we're in?" If somebody says, "Hey, can you give me an answer to the hope that lies within you?" Are you able to give an answer? Are you ready to teach a boy or a girl the Bible stories of the Bible? Are you ready to witness to somebody at work? Are you prepared to be in the battle? Can I ask you a question tonight? What good is a soldier that isn't prepared? What good would a soldier be if he only trained and received preparation when he felt like it? How about if he only trained and received preparation when it fit into his schedule? Well, I tell you what, I'll prepare to go and defend this country when I have time. I'll go and I'll prepare to defend this country when I feel like it, when it's convenient. Yet you and I are soldiers under the greatest commander. And you and I, oftentimes, it's hard, it's difficult. We get busy. I understand. I got 5 children, amen. We went to Disney World and I about died this past week. The kids wanted to go into one store, and we go into there, and they say, well, I want to wait and see what's in the next store, so we go in the next store, and I want to see what's in the next store, so we go in the next store. We get to all the stores. They say, hey, Dad, we still got all of our money. Can we go back to the first one? I understand. Life's busy. Life's busy. But do you know what? That doesn't negate the fact that you and I are soldiers in God's army, and we're to be ready. We're to be ready. Why do we expect that our men in uniform that protect our country have extensive specialized training? Yet when it comes to the spiritual battle we are in, we somehow think, well, I'm okay. I can get up Monday not read my Bible. I can get up Tuesday not spend any time in prayer. I can get up Wednesday and not put on the whole armor of God. I can get up Sunday, and you know what? I make most Sundays, but I can miss this one. You see, we're in a war, church. We're in a war, fellow believers. And Satan is the adversary. Sometimes we underestimate the power and the strength that the enemy possesses. But this is why so many are out of the battle today. They were hurt. They were wounded at a church. And they let bitterness set in and they let bitterness destroy them. And we must always be on guard for attack from the enemy, because 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I promise you tonight, Satan wants nothing more than to devour you. I promise you, Satan wants nothing more than to devour your testimony, than to devour your witness, than to devour your influence, your walk. He wants to make you powerless in your Christian life. After you get saved, Satan's next desire, Satan's most prominent desire, is to get you out of the battle. Satan knows that when you get saved, there's nothing he can do. You're one of God's children. Amen? Are you saved tonight? Amen? You eternally secure tonight? Amen? Satan understands that when you get saved, there's nothing he can do to pluck you out of the Father's hand. But he understands that he can get you out of the war. He understands that he can get you out of the battle. He understands that he can get you on the sidelines, being an observer, being a watcher, not a participator. Notice that Abram's men did not have to get ready. They were ready. And we need a prepared church so that when opportunities arise to reach our communities or to reach the world with the gospel, we're ready to go. What if God called you tomorrow to go to the mission field? Are you ready? What if God called you tomorrow to pastor? Are you ready? What if God called you tomorrow to witness to somebody that you're interacting with at work, at school, at home, or in the street, whatever? Are you ready? We must be prepared. There's a third thing that I see. That devotion to the mission is essential. Look back at verse number 14 again with me, if you would. There it says that they prepared 300 they armed 318 trained servants. And then look at the last phrase, and pursued them unto Dan. Pursued them unto Dan. You know, devotion to the mission is essential. These men had a mission. They didn't sit around and talk about how they should get him. They didn't start out to get him and turn back when they saw the enemy forces. They didn't turn back when they got discouraged. They didn't turn back when they felt threatened. Why? Because these men had a mission. They were steadfast in their mission, and they fought with all they had until they reached the goal of their commander. Folks, we know the mission. I know your church, I know your pastor, I know what you know. You know what the Great Commission is. You know what our mission is. You know what our purpose is as a church. We know that those who don't accept Christ spend eternity in hell, and we've heard the statistics about the need around the world. And if nothing else, the great commission that the Lord gave us as a church is crystal clear, and we need to be devoted to that mission. We can't get sidetracked from that mission. We have to remain focused on Jesus and his mission to us, and if we'll do that, that'll help us in this battle that you and I face. If you remember, I know you do, but if you remember the story where Peter's on the boat, and Jesus bids him come, and Peter gets out of the boat, and he starts walking on the water to Jesus, and we all know the story. As long as he was focused on Jesus, he was good. As long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was good. But as soon as he got his eyes off of that focus, what happened? He began to sink. What happened? Everything broke loose. What happened? The enemy began to win. Fear came. Doubt came. Can I tell you, in the mission that God has given you and I, there's going to be some fear. Can I tell you, in the mission that God has given you and I, there's going to be some doubt. We're going to have some faith. There's going to be doubt. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations along the way. I mean, all the disciples lost their life for the cause of Christ. We know there's going to be hardships. We know there's going to be difficulties. Let me tell you something. Part of your battle plan had better be keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He that began a perfect work in you is going to complete it. He's going to fulfill it. If you can keep your eyes on him. See, we fail when we get our eyes off Jesus. We stumble over the obstacles. We stumble over the difficulties. We stumble over the problems and the obstacles. We stumble over those things when we start looking at those and get our eyes off of him. Stay devoted to the mission that God has given you to do. What about brothers and sisters in Christ who are weak? Those who are away from God? Do we care enough to go and bear their infirmities and become part of the rescue mission? I love war analogies. I love hearing about rescue missions. I think they're cool. I'm going to tell you about one here in just a second. But I think they're cool. But you know what? The spiritual Christian life is very much the same way. We have brothers and sisters that have fallen. We have some that have been held captive to some things in their life. And they need somebody to care enough about them to go rescue them. They need somebody to care about them enough to go put their arm around them and say, you know what? I know things haven't been good. I know you've maybe gotten away from the Lord. I know maybe you've gone through a rough patch and maybe your faith's wavered. But I want to tell you I'm right here. And I want to walk with you and I want to carry your burden. Matter of fact, Romans 15:1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You know what it's saying there? You and I need some devotion. We need some devotion. We need some devotion to the Lord. We need some devotion to our fellow comrades. We need some devotion to those that are in captivity. But the fourth thing that I see tonight is this. We must work together. I want you to see in verse 15. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and he pursued them unto Hobah, which is of the left hand of Damascus. We must work together. You know what he did? He divided himself against them. Abraham divided his men and they attacked the enemy during the night. The Bible says that the enemy fled, but they continued to pursue them until they had reached a town north of Damascus. I want to tell you a story here because it never hit the news, that you never saw it on CNN or Fox. But after Flight 77 hit the Pentagon on 9/11, there was an incident that, like I said, never made the news. A daycare facility inside the Pentagon had many children in it. It's full of children, including infants, who were in very heavy cribs. And the daycare supervisor, looking at all the children they needed to evacuate, was in a panic over what they could do. There were many children, mostly toddlers as well as infants, that would need to be taken out with the cribs. But there was no time to try to bundle them into carriers and strollers. And just at that time, a young Marine came running into the center and asked, "What do you need?" And after hearing what the center director was trying to do, he ran back into the hallway and disappeared. The director thought, "Well, I guess we're on our own." About 2 minutes later, the Marine returned with 40 other Marines in tow. Each of them grabbed a crib with a child, and the rest started gathering up the toddlers. And the director and her staff then helped them take all the children out of the center down toward the park near the Potomac. Once they got about 3/4 of a mile outside of the building, the Marines stopped in the park, and then they did a fabulous thing. They formed a circle with all the cribs, which were quite sturdy and heavy. And they put them around like covered wagons in the Old West, and inside the circle of cribs, they put the toddlers to keep them from wandering off. Outside this circle were the 40 Marines forming a perimeter around the children and waiting for instructions. There they remained until the parents could be notified to come and get their children. And you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, I picked up something as I read this story several times. I love how one Marine understood that the only way to accomplish the mission was to go find 40 other Marines. He couldn't do it by himself. Can I tell you, your Christian life was never meant to do by yourself. Can I tell you, the Great Commission was never meant for one person to do by themselves. Can I tell you, building a church here in Jupiter, Florida, was never meant for one man to do by himself. It was meant for us to do as a team. It was meant for us to do as a group of brothers and sisters in Christ. Can I tell you, what was he trying to say in this passage? I think he was trying to say, if we're going to win the battle, we must work together. He understood that there was strength in numbers. Abram had 318 men. One of the great benefits of the early church is that they were together and in one accord, the Bible tells us. And if we're going to have an impact in our communities and in our world, if we're going to have an impact, if we're going to be successful in rescuing the perishing, we must work together. You know, I thank the Lord for churches that have learned to work together. I thank God for Christians that can work together. I thank God for a few snowbirds that can come down here and attend a church in the South. Amen. Bless them, Lord. But when we are prepared, when we are devoted, when we're working together, we'll see this, and I close with this. Number 5, victory is possible. Victory is possible. You know, I hear a lot of preaching. I listen to a lot of preaching. I attend a lot of different churches and pastors' events. And I'm going to be honest with you for just a second. Sometimes I get discouraged over the negativity that a lot of times we hear. Well, we can't do it. It's too hard. Well, God never intended for us to really make a tremendous impact. I just got to worry about me and my family. Can I tell you, God has given us a mission, and I'm here to tell you tonight, victory is possible. It's possible. If it was not possible, He would not have given us the command to go do it. God would have never, ever commanded us to go do something that He would not equip us to accomplish. Victory is possible. I want you to look at verse number 16 here in our passage in Genesis chapter 14. The Bible says this, and He brought back all the goods. I like that. They went on a mission, 318 men. We divided ourselves. We worked together. We win. And then look what happens. And we brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. You know, because Abram cared enough to act now, because the men were trained and ready to go, because they went forward with passion and fervor, the Bible tells me that the enemy fled. The Bible tells me that the goods were restored. The Bible tells me that Lot was rescued. The Bible tells me that the other people, it says the women, were delivered. Now, I think it's interesting that they went in to rescue Lot, but other people's lives were impacted by the rescue mission. Now, catch this. If you don't catch nothing else tonight, catch this. When they went in to rescue Lot, other people's lives were impacted. It says, Lot, again, his brother Lot, his goods, and the women also, and it says, and the people. You know, I like this, because this, you know what that tells me? That tells me that when I do something for God, that it's going to impact more than what I think it's going to impact. Sometimes I think, man, I'm spending a lot of time witnessing to one person. Man, I've got hours or days or weeks invested in this family, and I just don't know if they're ever going to get it. But you don't understand that one day something might come on and the whole family might get saved. You don't understand that one day you might lead that person to the Lord that becomes the next Billy Sunday. You don't understand that maybe you'll be the Sunday school teacher and you'll be able to witness to some boy or girl and they'll grow up to be the next Hudson Taylor. You see, there's victory when we are in the battle. I like it. When we take the gospel to those without Christ, or when we see a backslidden person restored to the body, others will be affected. So many times in the Bible it says someone got saved and their house. When one person gets saved, it affects others. When one person gets right with God, it affects others. Can I encourage you with this thought in closing? You never know who your life will impact, but the only way you can have an impact is if you're in the battle. You never know who your life will impact, but the only way that you can have an impact is if you're in the battle. You know what? I read this story and I encouraged myself and the Lord. I said, God, thank you. Thank you for the faithfulness of these men that we find in the Bible. And you know what it encouraged me to do? It encouraged me to stay in the battle. It encouraged me to stay in my Bible also. And to see what God would have me to do. And that in doing that, if I would remain steadfast and I'll be obedient, I can have an impact. And through my impact, it'll impact others and impact others. And you never know how many generations will be impacted through your testimony, through your life, through your witness. So I want to encourage you tonight. Are you in the battle? Victory is possible. We need to work together. Devotion to the mission is essential. We must be prepared. And the time to act is now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for making us heirs to the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for giving us a purpose in which to live in this life. Lord, we thank you for a church in which we can come and worship and look and study what the battle plan is, and Lord, that we can go out tomorrow and implement the things that we've learned today. Lord, I know tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to work on my identity. Lord, I want my identity to be found in you like we learned this morning. Lord, I'm going to get in my Bible tomorrow and make sure that I'm walking and living and letting you lead me and guide me in everything that I do tomorrow so that I can be in the battle and be where I need to be in the battle when I'm needed. Lord, we'll thank you for it. We'll praise you for it. We ask all this in your wonderful name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.